Welcome to the Get Hooked podcast, companion piece for the six-part documentary series exploring the health benefits of fishing and nature for everybody. This isn't your dad's fishing show.
Today we're here with Sharon Matthews, actor, writer, producer, yes, she was in Mean Girls, an avid lover of hiking Ontario trails.
Fishing is obviously a very popular sport among men, but the world knows that. In this series, we're trying to shine a light on other humans' experiences with fishing in nature. That is not to leave men out of the conversation. No, no, no. To the men, we invite you to continue to make fishing in nature a safe space for anyone who has never seen themselves on the cover of a fishing magazine, and welcome. This episode of the Get Hooked podcast is produced by Bone Vault Inc. in association with AMI and OutTV, and funded by the Bell Fund and Ontario Creates, and is hosted by actor, writer, and fishing-adjacent producer Heidi Lynch. That's me. Hi, Sharon.
Hi, Heidi. How are you?
Really good. It's so nice to get to have an actual chat with you. I have been a fan of your work on screen and stage, and then recently, like, had seen over the last couple years your writing and your producing and your voice acting and just getting such deserved accolades from the CSAs and the Canadian scene.
Thank you.
Yeah, I really, like, love Frankie Drake so much. It was, like, a huge show for me. I say this a lot on this podcast, but like when I was younger, a lot of the times the like Canadian cringe would happen when you watched Canadian TV.
Oh, I know.
Like, oh, it's so Canadian. I want to support it, but it's so Canadian. But
why can't it be not as Canadian? Yes, exactly. Yeah. I get it.
But Frankie Drake, like the style and the writing, and I know you were writing on it too, the style and the writing and the acting were just like top notch and just so fun.
Thank you. I'm just here for the compliments.
Okay, great. I'll keep coming. I've got a whole list.
I was like, oh, good. What a way to start my Monday morning.
Yes. Beautiful singing voice, musical theater legend. You just do it.
Thank you.
Like I was looking, I was like, yeah. You do everything. It's phenomenal.
Well, Heidi, it's Canada. You know, you have to do it all if you want to be able to pay for this beautiful boudoir that I'm sitting in right now.
Don't I know it? Yes. Yes. I got into the industry through acting, but quickly had to start writing my own work and then really fell in love with producing and have produced this series called Get Hooked, which is mostly...
I watched part of it.
Oh, yeah.
I watched part of it. Because I was sitting and I was like... I think it's hysterical. You asked me and I was like this, you want to talk about nature? I'm like, yes. Cause people are usually like, we want to talk about, you know, anyway, it was just nice. Like you want to talk about your hiking. And I was like, for sure. And last night, literally at 1 a.m. went, I should probably see if this is legit in case I end up on some kind of digital pornographic.
Get hooked. It means something very different. No, good to do your research. But no, Get Hooked is a very cute, feel-good, Ontario-based show, basically about centering everyone we've never seen on the cover of a fishing magazine and getting to hear their stories, their into the sport, what draws them to it, and what they get from it. And I, you know, followed you as an actor, creator, producer, but then saw your hiking posts start coming in to the gram. And it was just because I feel the same way. Like, I really need to get out into the trees sometimes. Yeah. And I just loved what you were posting, stuff about, you know, how forests don't judge you. It's like this place to go recharge. Yeah. Or that it's like an outlet when you're having a downer like we all do. And it's like, I could crawl under a blanket or I could get out into the woods and which one's going to make me feel better, you know?
Well, that was my weekend. Like I was feeling like just down. I was feeling blue as we do in life. And it's funny because we don't usually talk about it on things like this. We're like, oh no, I was fine. I was resilient, which, you know, I'd like to think I am, but I was feeling blue and I was tired and I was like, the forest. And I literally thought the forest has not once let you down, not once let you down. And it's the practice of it all. Cause it's so self-care based. It's, you know, I make myself a meal. I make sure I have enough nutrients before I get there. I stretch. I have this wonderful drive in my car that I find so meditative and I listen to music or a book on tape. And then I arrive, I have a pass to the halting conservation areas, which is what got me through the pandemic. I go there all the time. And I like adventuring and not knowing where I'm going. But when I'm going to one of the Halton conservation areas, I know where I'm going. I know what the hike is going to be. It's not a surprise. And so I feel like I arrive the way I arrive, and the forest is the way it is. Is it icy today? Is it, you know, is it rainy today? And I think that, oh my God, I didn't even think about this till right now. I always accept it the way it is. I put on my spikes, I put on my extra pants, and I don't ever judge it. Yeah. Right. And so I arrive in whatever state I'm in. And then by the end, I feel like I've conquered whatever state the forest is in, whether it's like all of a sudden you're like, wow, it's a slippy day, or oh my God, I'm covered from like head to toe with mud. And I always sit on the tail of my car and take off my boots. And I just feel so just like I've done something for myself that has nothing to do with work, that has nothing to do with, sometimes friends come, but it's just fully selfishly, if that's the word, I don't know if it is, or for me.
Yeah. That self-care thing. It's really interesting because I know Get Hooked is about fishing right now, but we also do talk a lot about nature in general, or travel, or getting outdoors somewhere new and how that helps you. And it's interesting because Vic, who gets sort of a spotlight on episode 5, they're quite a quiet person to anyone who doesn't know them. And they're friends with a lot of actors. They're friends with a lot of really outgoing and social situations people. And they express how sometimes they get, people get it like misconstrued that they are cold or closed off because they're not competing in volume to get a word in. You gravitate towards them until you get to know them really well. They're one of the funniest people I've ever met. But they express that something that's so beautiful about nature and being in the trees for them is not feeling that judgment for being quiet. You know, it's this weird thing where like they're trees, but you do feel that beautiful mental health gift of like, I'm a tiny speck in this huge world and I'm not alone. And, you know, but you get that solitary time. So it is a perfect mix, I think.
Well, someone, I can't remember where I read this. You know, the things you read that just stick with you that people will have glossed over in a second, but someone was talking about trees being alive. And I think I read this before I really, really started hiking. And they're like, trees are just not inanimate, but they're like stagnant. And someone went, they wave at you all day long. And I was like, deep. Like they do.
They do.
They're literally like, hey, bitch.
Yeah, just creating our oxygen, just making us live. Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. No, totally. I have recently gotten into hugging trees, which I know is like this funny hippie concept, but it makes me feel better. We all were looking for these outdoor outlets that were safe during COVID. And I think, you know, you're finding hiking during COVID or finding a deeper connection to it.
I totally found a deeper connection. Yeah.
Yeah. Most of the people on the podcast or the creation of Get Hooked, the series, was because we were trying to find an outdoor activity during COVID, and fishing became this really exciting bonding outlet for that group of women. I was wondering if you have a distinct memory of the first time nature felt meaningful to you.
I had two things that happened when I was young, I think, and I can't remember which came before which, but I think that the first thing was, you can't really do this today, but they were like, at school, they were like, I think we had to sign permission slips. Maybe we didn't, but I was probably less than 10 years old. And we went to the Bruce Trail for the day, and we walked the Bruce Trail, like 40 kids. And the Bruce Trail, the escarpment part, is no joke. Like, there are huge drops. And I remember walking along and going, I had enough comprehension and age to go, this is not far from my house. And I saw a snake, which everyone was afraid of, but not me, which I thought was hysterical. And I could see down the side of the hill, and it just felt so adventurous. Like, I felt like so much adventure. And then I can't remember if it was before or after. My grandmother would take out like a do-rag, like a head bandana, and I'd get her, she'd make a sandwich and she'd put it in wax paper and she'd put an apple in and usually a Fanta orange crushy thing. And she'd tie it up and she'd tie it to the bottom of a tennis racket. And then I would adventure to the corner of my backyard behind a bush and pretend that I was hiking. Like, it's just, that's not something my family did. Like, we went to the beach.
Yeah.
But no one was like, let's go for a huge walk in the forest. And it seemed so, so luxurious, hysterically luxurious.
I love the adventure. And obviously you know, I'm sure you had a very creative story brain as a kid too, you know, it does.
I did, absolutely.
Yeah, it stokes your imagination. It makes you, it's just shaking out of the everyday life and just taking time to like connect with something so much bigger than you.
And I also realized that I was looking for that path. I keep going back to Hamilton to hike at certain times of year. I'm so afraid of getting ticks.
Yeah.
I'm also hysterically like, I'm like, oh, I love hiking. I'm like, oh, ticks. I don't want a tick.
Hey, you don't want to mess around with ticks. It's good to be mindful.
Oh, it's like Avril Lavigne and no one wants to get the Lyme disease. But but Hamilton has, as you, I don't know if you know this, maybe you don't know this, has the most waterfalls of like almost anywhere in the world in one concentrated place.
I didn't know that, no.
Yeah. So the paths are beautiful. And I know that that Bruce Trail path is in there. And I think I found it. I didn't realize that I was searching for that path I was on when I was 9, which is so like a whole bigger overarching story. Right. But, idea. But yeah, I think I found it.
Cool.
I think I was thinking one day and I was like, oh my God, I think this is it. I think this is it. And I was so excited that I'd finally, through all my scavenging, found it.
Of course. Yeah. No, it's so cool to get to, it's like land really does carry so many memories from your childhood and stuff. My favorite spot, it's funny that you mentioned that because my favorite spot is a waterfall on Ox Tongue Lake, which is just outside of Algonquin Park. And like, I was buzzing when you said more waterfalls than anywhere. Like I need to go adventure a bit on the Bruce Trail. I haven't really
you really should, especially around Ancaster and Dundas and Hamilton. Like there's Sherman Falls. There's, and a lot of people, a lot of it's private property that, that they've opened up to walkers.
Cool. So, anyway. Do you have a favorite distance you like to hike? Like, is there something, you know, it's interesting because with fishing, every single guide we talked to was like, it's about fishing. It's called fishing, not catching.
Yes.
It's absolutely not about, you know, and our show is not a normal fishing show where it's like guys catching 10 fish in really fast sequence. It's about the chat and the experience and the journey. Do you like set specific distance goals for yourself at the start of your hike, or do you see how you're feeling that day and track it after? Like, what's your relationship to that?
I like to, in my life, have I'd like to set an intention, and then I like to give myself grace. Like I like to be hopeful about what I can do in a single day. But if I get to the, like, you know, the first 20 minutes of any hike is a rumble. Like your body said, your legs don't work today. This is too hard.
Yeah.
Why is this uphill? It's like, you've never done it before. Like, and that when I realized that the first 20 minutes was a rumble, I was like, oh, I can rumble for 20 minutes as long as I'm cognizant of it. But yeah, I like to go, if I have the time, I like to go for 6K during the week. I usually walk about 6K-ish every day outside of like normal steps, but like flatland. But so that I like to go like on a dynamic 6K in the week during the week. And then when I was training to hike the crack in Killarney, I was trying to go 13K on weekends. And it was, you know, again, no joke.
It's a lot. No, and that's when that whole like, what snacks, what fuel, what hydration, like all that planning really can serve you so much, just setting yourself up for success.
And I didn't know anything about it. Like I still, people, when I did hike the crack in Killarney, which is an easy hike for some people, although I saw when I was standing at the bottom of the actual crack, which is like a 75 foot straight uphill rock fall, I was like looking at it and a bunch of guys walked over and went, no, just walk the other way. But halfway through the hike, which is only 8K, like it's only 8K, halfway through the first 2K, it was 28 degrees.
Oh my God.
You all of a sudden emerge onto this rock that I can't remember what it's called, but it's like the face of the sun. And there's literally no vegetation. And I was
too
like,
hot.
And I crouched under a tree and I was like, I can't do it. I can't do it. And I was like, Sharon, eat the Cliff Bar at the bottom of your bag. Drink your GD electrolytes. You haven't had a hat on because you've been in some, like I didn't know. I was like, I probably should have had more nuts. I probably should have done more of this. I probably should have hydrated more. But I'm just I'm really learning. I'm still learning. But yeah, so I like 6K is kind of my go-to right now. If I get 6K, I'm like, oh, I did something.
I think we touched on this a little bit, but do you prefer solo hikes or hiking with friends / a furry friend?
It is so different. I realize that I've done hikes that I accidentally climbed a mountain in Big Sur. It was all ego-based. It was all ego-based. Some ranger, I was looking for a hike and I'd already picked one, but then there were like hundreds of cars there. And I was like, I'm not doing this today. So I went to the ranger station and I was like, I'm looking for a hike that's about, 3 to 4 miles or, somewhere in there. And he literally looked me up and down and went, this hike is 1 mile to a walk. And I was like this, what's this hike? And he was like, oh, that's called the Buzzard's Roost. I was like, click, that's what I'm going on.
I love it.
Like, again, Heidi, it's called the Buzzard's Roost. I should tell you. Anyway, like, I started, the first bit, it's like, ooh, like every hike, it's a bit of a rumble, but I was like, ooh, this is pretty. And then it started climbing, but it started climbing in a way that you thought when you got around, it was tacking. So you got around every corner, you're like, oh, this is when it's going to wrap around the mountain. No, this is when it's going to wrap. No. So for literally 4 kilometers, I was going up and up and up. And I remember about a kilometer from the top, I thought, right. You know what? If I was with someone, I wouldn't have done this. Like, I think that when I'm with someone, I feel less capable. Isn't that funny? Like, that was an amazing discovery. Like, I have 3 people who I like. I like hiking with my friend Ari. I like hiking with my friend Deb. I like hiking with my friend Mike and my friends Patricia. We all walk at the same pace. No one judges a pace. And we all like the same amount of hike. But it's careful. It's like picking a life partner. Yeah. Like, if you pick someone crappy, and then all of a sudden you're out there, you're like, and they're like, oh, this isn't going fast enough. And oh, can we stop 500 times? And oh.
Yeah. You have to be in some level of sync so that you're all going to be enjoying it in the same moment in time together, I think, right?
You have to come in concert with each other, which is, again, a beautiful, like, it's a beautiful concept. But I tend to really lean towards my solo adventure. And for a while, I felt like this weekend, I was like, oh, I should call someone. And I was like, I don't really feel like it.
Yeah.
I don't really feel like it. It's so amazing to be in control of how long you stay. How, like, the one I went on this weekend, I have I pulled my hamstring on a Queenston hill hike, Queenston Hills hike. And so I'm kind of nursing it, but I was just going to do a regular hike. And then before you know it, I'm like crawling up the rocks and I'm like, Matthews. I'm like, Matthews, what are you doing? But I'm like, I'm powering through it. And I'm feeling so proud of myself. Yeah.
I think it's also, what we do in the industry is so dependent on being collaborative. You have to be part of the cast, part of the writing team, part of, the machine becomes more important than its parts. So I wonder if that is also why, because if it's this break and this detachment and this thing that's just yours and this other part of your personality, if maybe that's also why the solo adventure feels so rewarding or is like stimulating some deep part of your soul.
I don't, you know what? I've thought about it a lot. I've thought about it a lot because there's a lot of people who say that, you do things alone because you, because of childhood trauma. And I don't mean to make because of childhood trauma. And you depend on yourself, which I totally get. But I also think that since I've been divorced 7 years, one of my first things was I got my car and drove to Winnipeg by myself.
Wow.
I always say I drove to Canada.
That is a big drive for anyone who doesn't know. Yeah.
Well, but then I drove from, and then a year later, I drove Toronto to Tofino by myself, which is 4,000 kilometers, 8,000 kilometers there and back. Like, best, I was writing about it and for another project. And it was literally the best trip of my life, for which I was, the first 3 days I was terrified. I was like, what are you doing? What are you doing? But yeah, I do like going out on my own. I have been thinking about it lately, thinking if I did it again, would I do it with someone? And I was like, oh, I'd do parts of it with someone. Like, I'd be like, oh, I'm picking you up in Edmonton and dropping you off.
Yeah. I just think that's badass. I think that is a great skill. And I think it makes, you know, all personalities are different, and I'm not throwing shade to anyone, but I think if you're able to enjoy your own company, you will be a better friend, sister, daughter, whatever you are to other people. You know, I think you operate from a full cup when you show up for them. So it's one of those things that, yeah, I guess sometimes we might judge ourselves as selfish or something if we don't want to, but it's actually selfless and makes us a better person. I am someone who needs alone time. So I really resonate with that.
Oh, I do too. I have to make sure that I do, because I went on a hike a couple weeks ago with my friend Ari, who hates, he hates hiking. He's Jewish. And he said to me the first time I asked him to go hiking, he went, my people wandered in the desert for 40 years. We have done enough walking and camping for everyone. But he goes hiking with me, and he actually went camping last year. He asked me if he could come, but I was going to go out on my own, and he said, can I meet you? And he lives in Stratford. I said, can I meet you in Milton? And we hiked together. And like, I brought snacks and we did a beautiful walk, and then we stopped, and it's a different kind of hike, yeah. Right? It's like, I don't make him crawl over rocks. Right. He's just like, I don't know what's happening right now.
I don't like it. No, I think that's part of the joy too, is like when you do connect to something like that, getting to sort of shepherd someone else or like get to share your experience with them, watching, you know, yeah. The people and Get Hooked. That's the most beautiful part of it. The knowledge sharing with no like monetary exchange. It's literally just, I really like this part about nature. This is probably a better route for you to hike that day. This is a better way to bait your fish. It's really just like human connection off your screens is just really healthy and yes. Refreshing, you know?
Agreed. And it's something that doesn't have anything to do with work, yeah. Or has any, like you said, transactional. Like, we're not sitting beside each other at a movie. We are walking beside each other. We are walking beside each other in step, being mindful of each other's, like, and I had to walk slower again because of my hamstring, yeah. And he turned me ass. He was like, are you cool? And I was like, yeah, I'm cool. And it was just, I don't know, at the end of it. I brought the best snacks, and we stopped somewhere, and I found a great place to stop, and there were waterfalls.
It's beautiful.
And he was just like, wow. And there was a fire. The thing about the Halton Conservation Area is each one of them has a place where they set up fire pits, and you can actually, I can't believe you can do it, but they also have all the fire beside it. So all the wood. So you can stoke the fire and just sit with people, families, communities. It's a really cool experience. See, this is why I did this podcast, Heidi. I just love talking about nature.
Do you have any distinct memories of like a really stressful creative process where forcing and carving out time to get into nature like helped you regroup and come back to the project with a fresh mind and find the creative solution?
Oh boy, I feel like all my creative solutions are when my feet are hitting the ground. Like,
yeah.
I started writing my own scripts. Like I took like a year and a half off-ish to write two pitch decks for TV shows and two pilots, which is a lot. Like to actually do those two things in a year and a half is kind of gookadoodoos. But last year I lost the thread on the second project a number of times. And the people I was working with, my managers who I was working with in LA, who are amazing structure and storytelling, I almost gave up. And so I decided to take a trip to California and stay with a friend of mine for a couple of days. And then I drove the Pacific Coast Highway. That's how I ended up hiking that Eagle Mountain that I went up. But I found there was like a 40 kilometer trail. When you go to Half Moon Bay in California, which is just outside of Redwood City, California, there's a 40 kilometer walk right along the cliffs. It's of the ocean. It's unbelievably beautiful. And I found that when I got quiet, and I find this in like more and more in life, when I get quiet, it comes. Like it just comes.
Yeah.
When you stop trying to force the crap to come, it usually shows up if you are, quiet enough to hear it, and you have enough ego to believe it. less ego. You know what I mean? Yeah. A little less ego to believe it. Yeah. I can't say enough about it, because you have to shake off all the cobwebs when you go out there.
Yeah.
And you literally, especially with places like trails that are along cliffs or the Bruce Trail, you have no choice but to look down. If you want to enjoy everything, you have to stop and look around.
Yeah.
Like, you can't really do two things at once. So because you're looking down, because you're just focusing with what's right in front of you, you have no choice but to let the creative part of your brain actually begin to function in a non-stressed, non-writer's block, I'm going to give you crap answers kind of way.
Totally.
Yeah.
I think Einstein used to work on two theories at a time. He used to like always be trying to solve two problems, so that when he got stuck on this one, he'd go to this one. And when his brain relaxed trying to solve this one, he'd find the answer, and then he'd go back, and then he'd go back, and then he'd go back.
That makes all the sense in the world.
I feel like that just reminded me of what you're talking about. When you take the pressure off and the tense and the, I have to solve this now.
Yeah.
Because you're doing it subconsciously while you're sleeping, while you're like, your brain's working on the story. You just haven't put it into the words yet.
Patience. It's all about being patient and not trying to wrestle. Yeah. But also, writing has taught me, especially TV writing, that the first draft is always going to be a vomit.
Oh, totally.
Like, as soon as you, but I never really thought, like, because I did musical theater, like, we show up to rehearsal with a show. Like, you have to. You don't have time in 3 weeks to be like, we have music and acting and dancing. I don't have time to be like, what's my motivation? Like, you got to show up with something, right? And so life became really about showing up with everything.
Yeah.
And I never gave myself the chance to go, well, what if you just start with this and then you find it? Like, that concept to me was, which is like the walk, right? Which is, you have all trails, but at least, if the all trails is like telling you to go a certain way, you can always see all the side trails, right?
Yeah.
Hi, guys. It's just me interjecting to give you some context, like I tend to do. So part of me wanting to interview Sharon for this podcast about her passion and absolute joy for hiking was an Instagram post I saw. It's a beautiful picture of her with a huge smile on her face, outdoors in nature, in the trees, on a hike. And it says, "Hey humans, it's good for you season out on the trails and paths of Ontario. Please, before you consider telling someone that you are assuming is new to exercise, good for you. Don't. Mind your business. I should not have to smile and support your bias about my size or assumed skill level to make you feel good by making me feel other. I stand by this hard." Everybody at Get Hooked also stands by this, stands behind Sharon, and would like to say, just don't do good for you season.
It's funny, when I was like a long, long time ago, I was a friend of mine and I were doing a show together, and she's had just lost 80 pounds and really quick. And she said that the first time she was walking along, one of the times she was walking along the street, someone said, "Good for you." And she said, "All I wanted to do was choke them to death." And I was like, well, that's excessive. And then when I started really putting myself out into the world, I just started to realize that people were like, "Good for you." And I used to smile and be like, "Oh," and then I started to think, are they saying good for you to the person who, oh, weird. And then when I really started to kick it, like, I started to move, and like people still would be like, I'm like, which path did you guys, I'd stop someone and say, "Which path did you guys take?" They go, "Oh, well, this one does this. This one is a very large hill. I don't think you will enjoy it." And I'm like, did I ask you if I was going to enjoy it? And when I started to write about it, people flipped out. Like, they either got mad, or people would say, "You know what you need to do." Like, these people are just, and I said, and I kept saying, "Why is this a fight you want to win?" Well, but that's the thing. It's like, you don't understand that people are just, and I said, okay. And good for you season started in such an epic way this year. And I forget about it till it starts. And it's usually spring. It's always spring. Like, I don't know where the good for you people go during the winter, but they hibernate. But they come out in the spring full force, like they've slept like a bear. And I was walking, and it was a particularly crap day on the lake shore. And so, you know, I've got like a thing over my head, and it's done up to here. And I've got a face thing up to here and a hat and gloves, and I look like the abominable snowman, but I'm clipping because I can go fast. I'm trying to get my steps in, and I walked by this couple And I could see them looking at me and then talking and looking at me. And I knew you can smell good for you people at 100 meters. And so I have like my earphones look like the Death Star on each side of my head. Like they're huge. And I don't have eye contact. I'm like, do not make eye contact with the good for you people. Because if you make eye contact with the good for you people, they're going to be like fully like, hey, my name's Geraldine. This is John. We've been watching you. You're a big girl, but we think you're doing it. It's like, screw off. So I walked by and they were looking at me, leaning in, looking at me. It just kept going.
No.
So I did my loop at the end and I'm going back and I'm halfway back and I see them and I literally went like this, where can I go? Like that. They didn't have a chance the first time to have good for you. Now they're emboldened. Like, here she is again. She's been sent to us by the Lord. We have to say good for you. And there was nowhere to go. So I literally looked down at the ground. I looked down, which is submissive, I know, but I looked down. They came in front of me and said, we just had to say. And I pulled off my earphones. I stopped and I pulled off my earphones. And I said, what do you have to say?
Yeah.
And then I had a moment where like, oh my God, they may say we know you from Frankie Drake. But they couldn't have because I had that much, because that happens every once in a while. And I kind of, and it's usually a certain age of people. And so I was like, oh no. So I was trying to smile with my eyes. And they said, you're just moving so fast. Good for you. And I said, can I ask you a question? And you could see, it's always interesting watching the good for you people start to lose their center. And they're like, oh, what's going on right now? Cause they can feel my energy. And I said, can I ask you, what was your motivation to tell me good for you? We don't know each other. And I said, and I'm obviously not looking at you. And they said, oh, it's great to have. I said, why do you assume that I have just started walking? And they were like, oh, and then it turns into this is the map. And then I said, oh, whoa, we were just trying to give you a compliment. I said, no. I said, you were teaching me and treating me like I'm other. I said, because I can guarantee you that the ultra marathoner who's right behind me, you're not going to say good for you. And they were like, oh, well, and I could see them trying to like, actually, I don't think they were of a mind enough to actually step back and say, wow. They were too busy defending their actions. But like, I just think if you go up to someone in the gym or you go up to someone on a path or you go up to someone who is in any form of exercise or adventure or whatever, and decide that you are going to validate their existence on the path, you need to talk to yourself as to why. And again, it's really making someone feel like they don't belong. Like, because you have looked at me and decided that I don't belong. Now I'm going to start questioning why I belong because I'm a human.
But the thing, the thing to bring it back to my show, Get Hooked, is like, it's just been so fun to combat stereotypes with pure joy, like unadulterated joy, just people taking up space and experiencing joy because they are in these spaces, because we all do exist in these spaces. We're allowed to. And to your point, you know, that see it, be it slogan is real. We need to see other people doing it. And, you know, the whole nature industry needs a complete like marketing overhaul.
Well, big people are sitting around. It happens here forever. We'll be here forever. It's just the way the world is. And we're supposed to sit in the audience and laugh at fat jokes or be like, oh, well, and be like, oh, I'm not allowed. I can't see myself on screen. I'm not allowed to see myself on screen. And like you said, I am not allowed to see myself in nature. Like, well, I follow someone. I just started following someone called the Mervinator. The Mervinator. And she is a plus size woman who does ultra marathons and who is unbelievable and has like Lululemon, Darn Tough, Ford Bronco. They all sponsor her. And she lifts heavy and everyone's like, oh, when are you going to lose weight? She's like, that's not what I'm doing.
Cool. Well, this has been really lovely. And it's been very cool to get to know you a bit as a human, not just a performer. And please just keep sharing your hiking stories because they make me smile every time I see them and inspire me to want to get out into nature too.
I'm inspired by all the people I see out there doing all the things. I'm inspired by you guys out there fishing and looking like you're, I was like, I'm not a big fish. I was like, well, that looks like fun. That looks like fun.
You can check out the documentary series Get Hooked in Canada on AMI TV, AMI Plus, and on OutTV.com in Canada, the US, Australia, and New Zealand. You can get those through Apple TV and Amazon Prime. On Outflix.com in the UK and Ireland, and on Outflix via LNT in Sweden, Denmark, Norway, and Finland. Lastly, fish on, shoot on, or tree on. Whatever you do to get your nature kicks, just get outside and enjoy it. Thanks.